CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on what is it today? It's a Tuesday morning. I've got Lebang and I've got
Leno.
Tuesday, yes, very, very nice. Only a few days left until the end of the year for many people. Maybe the last week at work this week, because you know, from here on, you're going to try and make meetings happen. You're going to try and arrange stuff, and people are just going to say, mm-mm, "Not available. I'm away. Sorry." Nothing happens, right? Laziness kicks in.
It's already started.
No, big time. I'm ready for this holiday, though. I need it. And I don't have a whole lot planned, but I'm excited to be able to do bugger all, wake up late. I mean, it's the little things. Seriously, the little things, like waking up late. When you wake up to do this show at like 5 every morning, it's I'm used to it. I won't lie. I know how it feels every day to wake up at this time, but you never really like get into it. You never go, oh, yay, 5. Woo. It's so great to be up at this time. Even if the sun is up in the middle of summer, it's better than winter when it's still dark by like 7. Anyway, Lebang thinks she may low key have been exposed to the vid, the very Omicron low-key variant. Yeah. I can see Mbulelo looks suspiciously.
Look, Mbulelo, lucky for you, I'm not going to be in the office today, so you're safe. You're okay. All right. I know you're worried. Don't worry about it. I'll be.
No worry.
I think not I don't worried. Have any symptoms. I may have been exposed to it. I mean, like, I may have not. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm feeling fine. But if I have, then, you know, oops. If I haven't, then, you know, we keep moving as well. I'm really not going to make a hoo-ha of this.
Wow, he doesn't look like he's worried at all.
Not one bit. I couldn't be less worried.
Give a shit.
Yeah. I'm vaccinated. I'll be fine. Like, all the best. All the best.
You know what? I have not been worried since day one. I'm not about to start now. And so far, I think, isn't it true that Alec Baldwin has killed more people than the Omicron variant?
He says he didn't pull the trigger.
That's true, right?
He said he didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. He says he didn't pull the trigger. Like, who did then, Alec? Was it Jesus?
No, he's not answering that at this stage. Did you see the interview?
I did see I saw a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. But he deleted all his social media in the last day or two. So there's something going on. I think his lawyers have said to him, will you just shut up? You're like basically perjuring yourself, you idiot. You're an actor. You're no good at anything but pretending. And this is not a great time to pretend. So we'll have to see what happens. Shame. But I mean, I think Alec Baldwin's a bit douchey. So, you know, he's also one of those sanctimonious actors he's really up his own ass. You know, like Alec Baldwin is the actor's actor. So anytime someone like that gets nailed for gross irresponsibility at least and criminality at worst, I'm always like, yeah, well, it's good because why should they be treated better than the rest of us? If you did that, you'd be in jail. Without bail, no one would be fucking lining up to tell you how great you were, would they? And this guy just, like actors, it's amazing. Even when they are caught red-handed, they're still like, oh, it wasn't me. I mean, Jussie Smollett's the other one, right? He's being tried at the moment for his hoax, where he hoaxed a race crime. Like, he made the whole thing up. He got these two Nigerian brothers to, like, stage an attack on him. And then he told everybody they were MAGA cap wearing white people who abused him for his race and his sexuality. It's like no one in the world cares about Jussie Smollett or his blackness or gayness. I mean, like, there's such a. I heard a brilliant thing. I said this before, I think, once when the whole thing happened and it was revealed to be a hoax. There's such an undersupply and an over demand for this stuff, this outrage stuff. And it's amazing to me how most of these hate crimes, like 98% of them, are bullshit. And they're absolutely bullshit. The real ones, you know straight away if it's, you know, because you can tell, like, this is a real. So, for someone to do that, and I don't know how many people there are still in the world. It must be the same number of people who are serial killers or high school shooters or any of that stuff who would actually go out of their way to victimize someone just because they're gay or just because they're black or just because they, you know, trans or whatever. It's always like people saying, oh, but it's so unsafe for these people. Like, where? Not in America. Maybe in places like, you know,
Hungary,
the Congo, Hungary.
Well, it's illegal to be gay in Hungary now. I don't know if you know that.
Is it illegal?
Yeah. No. It's completely illegal. It's written into the law.
Isn't it also,
they seem to think they're a Budapest.
China, isn't it also, and in China it's illegal too, isn't it?
I don't know.
China's super conservative. That's what people don't get about China. And of course, North Korea, but there everything's illegal.
And some except African eating your countries. Children. Is it Ghana?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Uganda. Yeah, Uganda. Remember they had that pastor once who's like, eat the gay people, eat the poo poo. Remember that guy? That's going around.
Like ice cream.
But I mean, but in America, and especially in Chicago, like how many right-wing, MAGA hat-wearing, Trump-supporting, racist, homophobes live in Chicago?
Not in the open, anyway. They're probably at barbecues or whatever.
But you struggle to find them.
Yeah, they're at barbecues.
You have to turn over a lot of rocks to find those guys. Plus, if Jussie Smollett, this famous actor, walks in and makes himself known to them, they'll probably go, "Hey, it's that famous guy from TV." Not there's a gay black guy. Let's beat him up.
Was he the guy that acted in Empire?
Correct.
Oh my word, no, what was he doing? Oh,
I know.
That was so embarrassing.
He's ruined his career. I mean, the guy was earning like $100,000 an episode.
Wow.
Being on that show. And that wasn't enough. He needed also to be like the victim of a hate crime so he could up his, I don't know,
his whatever, his street cred.
Social media
that, yeah, that street, he set street up street himself. Oh.
I know. It's so embarrassing because now these two Nigerian brothers who he paid to attack him, and the whole thing was on camera, so it's not as if he can't like get out of this. It's all on camera. There were street cameras everywhere, and he knew there were cameras. Like, he's obviously not very bright.
Jesse,
what do you even? I mean, it's so sad. It's so sad and pathetic. Anyway, we've got other things on our mind. Lebang has been ghosted by a friend. This is something which happens more and more. I hate this stuff so much. You know, I've never understood. Like, he thinks it's hilarious. I've never understood why people are so childish that they would ghost you. And let's just explain what ghosting is so everybody knows.
Like, just tell me if I suck.
Right. No, I can handle it. Not everybody's going to be your friend. And I've got lots of other friends, you know? Like, if you want to ghost me, at least say to me beforehand, listen, I don't like you. You are not my cup of tea. I don't get along with you. I don't like what you think. I don't like what you say. I hate the way you look. Whatever. Just give me a heads up, and then I will leave you alone.
Honestly, we'll go. We'll go where we are wanted, because clearly here we are not wanted. But it's even more rude to just disappear from my life. Because I'm thinking everything's a party, we're all good. And then, like now I'm just seeing on social media that, okay, I'm clearly being excluded from your life. And I don't know if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago I told you that I got an invite to my cousin's wedding via WhatsApp. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
For having me, because I was making a big deal out of it. Same cousin deleted us, well, me and our friendship circle, he deleted us all of social media. He exited all of our WhatsApp groups. This was like now a space of like 8 weeks, right? We were like worried about him. Where is he? What's going on? So we leave it. His birthday is on the 3rd of December. Do we not see pictures of like a whole party with him and people? And I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. The next day is his bachelor's party. Guys, it was like people were everywhere having a good time. I'm like, oh my word, I got ghosted. This person has actually just chosen to leave me and go on with his life, which is cool. But tell me and say, look, bro, this is the direction I'm taking. I don't see you in my plans. Or, hey, I've got different interests from you. I'm out. Like, he's just, boom, gone, disappeared.
Do you think it had anything to do with you speaking about it on Africa's Biggest Podcast at all?
Look.
In the most derisory tone, by the way. No, not just talking about it.
Call me and say, yo, I heard you talking about my life on the show, and for that, I'm ghosting you. I would have been like, oh, yeah, cool. I mean, you know, that's what I do. Yeah. I'm a broadcaster. I speak about my life. And if you're worried about it, I'm sorry. But
you didn't mention any names.
So. Yes, but people know who Lebang is and they know who her cousin is. Like, Lebang, are you? So I like how Lebang thinks she's the victim now. I see how you've turned it around when you brought a family matter in public. Like, oh, who were you talking about with? Oh, do you know who Gareth Cliff is? Look, yes, I know who Gareth Cliff is. Yes, I do. I was telling him, where in private? I can't believe it. No, it was online. It's going to live forever.
Mulelo, I don't think people are that bored to go and see who I am and who my friends are and who my cousins are. They're not going to go and check, let alone...
That's where you're wrong.
Yeah, you're...
Oh, come on.
Let me tell you something.
That's where you're wrong.
I don't know.
You have no idea the amount of time that some people have on their hands. You have no idea how bored some people are and how interested they are in your life. Let me tell you, some people are stalking people who are not even famous. Look at how people stalk their exes. They create new accounts on Instagram just to follow, like, their ex. Trust me, Lebang, there's someone out there who's researching you now, whether you like it or not. I mean, it's creepy as hell.
Let me stop them in their tracks. There's not much that you're going to find. Like, this is who I am. All that you see is all that. But the point is,
it's going to be boring.
He's literally, you know, just disappeared, right? And I could sort of sense that it was coming because I told you that invite was dodgy. So I went as far as calling my aunt, who I don't speak to often. But I went and called and I was like, hey, is everything okay? I haven't heard from him. And she was like, well, look, I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't want to be friends with you anymore, he should just tell you, right? That's when the red flag hit. I'm like, so my aunt even knows that I'm getting ditched. Mm-hmm. Well, then he really should be able to tell me. Because right now he just looks like a bit of a douchebag, not having the balls to just tell his friends of like 10 years and me, his cousin, that, hey, bro, peace, I'm out.
It's over,
weird. It's weird, but it happened, and it's my first time getting ghosted by a grown adult whilst I'm a grown adult, so I'm just, like, kind of dealing with it.
Like Carl says, if he told you he was going to ghost you, then it wouldn't be ghosting, though. But we're saying that there is a more mature way to behave than this, you know? And people do need hobbies, Ruth. I'm sorry, it is pathetic. People need to get hobbies, but they don't have hobbies. I know, like, grown men and women who are in the prime of their life. They're adult. They even have children and a family. And they like spend the entire day on social media trying to find out about their favorite celebrity. It's not even celebrities, frankly. Someone who they met at a party. It's weird. I mean, I do not understand it. Quentin says, you got to watch that Seinfeld episode where he has to break up with a friend.
I will.
And Dudley says, they're actually simplifying your life for you. Ignore them and move on. You don't need people like that in your life. You should thank them.
Yeah, rather. Let's keep it moving, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. What's more embarrassing about the Jussie Smollett story, according to Michael, is all the Hollywood personalities and media people who supported him. And the people who pay. And the Nigerian brothers didn't even hesitate to split on him. Says Anthony Hawk. To be fair, I didn't even know who Jussie Smollett was before this bullshit. So it worked. He got the fame. Twat. Yeah. Okay. And then Carol's very happy with my Christmas tree in the background, which Lebang also commented on.
So
the show
fancy. Time. My word.
You like that?
It's very pretty.
Looks great.
Yeah, look at that. It compliments your
looks
hair.
Looks quite nice.
It's all vibrant.
My hair, right.
It. Yeah,
the Christmas
looks like
tree and my hair, we go together.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm seeing.
I've got to get into this. I love me some Christmas. There's no amount of Christmas that would make me bored. Can't get enough. Okay, I told you we decorated the tree at my parents' house yesterday. Well, not yesterday, on Sunday, with my two little nephews. And just to see the expression on their faces, it's like the best thing ever. You see, like, little kids getting excited about Christmas, and it just reminds you of how you used to, like, not go to sleep the night before because you were so excited, like, Father Christmas was coming. And then at that age where you discover, it was never this Batman coming down the chimney, which should really be the kind of thing you warn children against. Kids, if someone comes into the house without telling us, and they try to lure you with presents, that's usually the kind of person you should avoid. No, we made an exception for Father Christmas.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Oh, you got to talk about this. Corona's boring, says. Unemployment among the Cuomo brothers has reached 100% in an ailing economy. Yeah, both Cuomos, they fired Chris Cuomo on CNN. So now he and his brother don't have jobs. They're going to have a boring Christmas. Imagine.
Yeah.
Terrible. Christmas is great, says Rebellious Ruth, except for Boney M.
Why do people hate Boney M?
I love Boney M. We used to have Boney M, what did we call it? Acclimatization lessons when I still did like morning radio. We'd play the songs when I was doing like, you know, commercial music radio. We'd play the songs to acclimatize people to Boney M for a couple of weeks before Christmas so they could get used to it and get ready. Because I tell you now, that music is designed to make you spend money. When you hear Boney M, you're like, where's my wallet? Let's spend me some cash. It happens.
It's like high-key Mariah Carey. Like Mariah Carey knows, like 25th of November, she is about to get paid every year without fail. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, she comes out of hibernation.
Pretty much.
I mean, she even takes the piss. She's like, she's got these videos of her like waking up in bed. And it says, ah, Christmas is coming. And then Mariah's like cash register sounds start going on. Sure.
I stand.
This is interesting. Ochopotse says, I probably haven't spoken to some of my cousins since pre-pandemic. I hope they're alive. Sure.
Thanks.
Oh.
Yeah, those fringe relationships before COVID are definitely disappeared now, right? Like, no matter whether they're family or like an acquaintance, it's just, thank 100%. Goodness. It's good.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Someone made the point earlier that it's actually they're doing you a favor. And I think maybe that's true. So if someone's ghosted you, maybe they're just saving you the trouble. And you can forget about them and move on with your life. I just think it's childish. Like, be brave enough to actually come up and say it to my face, you know?
But I've always wondered with this, like people who get broken up with always, because there's two types of people, right? Some people get upset that you broke up with me. And then the other person gets upset how you broke up with me. I've always wondered, is there a good way to deliver bad news? Like why are people more traumatized if it's ghosting versus, Lebang, take a seat. You know, we've had a good run. You're a good person. I'm a good person. We're just going that way. But it's like a crappy situation either way. Well, why does it matter?
The latter never happens because people are not brave enough to do that.
They're cowards.
And so the ghosting is like you're... Because if someone actually said to you, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore, there's a part of you that has to respect them. You have to go, well, at least they had the balls to say that, you know? Mm-hmm. But if they ghost you, you kind of a bit disappointed because you're like, well, I really thought, especially if you did value the relationship, like I thought that person was better than that. And you thought maybe they had, maybe you're being met by expectations. I mean, your reality is meeting your expectations and you don't like the difference between the two.
Exactly.
You know?
But also, like, generally, Mulelo, imagine, like, creating memories with a person and really, you know, breaking boundaries with this person and living many, many years with this person. You guys depend on each other. You become so close. You actually end up loving each other as humans, like the most dependable person. If there's anybody you can call right now and say, oh, I'm in a bit of a, you know, trouble, that's the person that comes to your rescue. And then out of the purple, they just disappear. Like, none of that matters anymore. You feel like a bit of a fool. Like, oh, so these past couple of years, were we just playing around? Or is this what you do? Do you go around creating these bonds everywhere you go with anyone that you meet? And then, you know, like, you sort of feel like a little bit of an idiot for really going all the way into this friendship, only for it to ultimately not have mattered to that person. And it sucks because now you put your wall up a bit more, and when you meet other people in future, you'll just be like, ah, let me not put my all in because I've been burnt. And getting burnt in a friendship kind of feels a bit more sore than getting burnt, you know, in a relationship, because it's like, damn. I mean, with a relationship, it's like, okay, cool. I mean, whatever, shut up. I can just keep it moving. But with a friendship, it's like, you had plans for this to really be lifelong, or you'd hoped anyway. Now it just simply isn't, because clearly you were just being a puss. But anyway. Yeah.
Yes. Wowzers.
You were on a bit of a roll there.
Yeah. Jeepers. I was like, yesy. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Levang, thoughts and prayers.
It's like she was talking to you.
Yeah, no, that was so real. I was like, by the way, Jesse Smollett just lost a job. You should be a method actor. They're looking. Holy crap. Hey, that was heartfelt. I'm sorry to hear it, Levang.
Well, you know, listen to Life with Levang. That's literally all I do. Every single Thursday, that's literally what I do.
I've got to refer to this because we'll get to it a little bit later on. We're going to be talking about the 16 days of activism and whether or not there's any good being done there at all, because it's just something that people glom onto. Whether or not it's making a real difference, we'll have to discover later on in the show. But this is Daniela, who says that, and she's brought up something that a lot of people have been talking about, the Amanda DuPont story and Jub-Jub. Which is, I mean, I didn't know about this until Friday last week. I saw it. I was at a coffee shop for a meeting, and I saw the newspaper on the table. I was like, oh, no. I didn't even know Jub-Jub was still around, because I remember when he went to jail, and I remember Mama Jackie. Remember her, his mother? Mm-hmm. I was like, shit, I didn't know this guy was still in the news. And then I saw, because Amanda DuPont used to work at Cliff Central. She had a show there for a while. She was a co-host on one of the shows and a regular guest. And I just thought, how's this happening? Like, what have I missed? Have I not been paying attention for this long? I felt completely out of it. And then I read just the first few lines of the story and I couldn't believe what I was reading. But we will talk about it. And Daniela says the whole country needs to ghost him. And then Zuzile says, I don't agree with you, Daniela. You're among those who didn't watch the full podcast, because this all happened on Mac G's podcast. And by the way, one of his sponsors dropped him. Because, you know, he's controversial. If you're going to sponsor open, free conversation, real people, you got to have the balls to stick it out, guys. Like, yeah, I just want to say to these corporates who've got money to burn and who want to do things that are just always going to be perfect and always safe, that you are wasting your time. Those things don't exist and they don't have the impact that you're hoping that they'll have. So have the bollocks to stick with someone. And if it's Mac G or it's us, I promise you in the long run, those people who want to cancel you for your association are much fewer in number than the number of people who want to support those kinds of things. And if you want to be where the action is and you want to have conversations that actually matter and that touch on real life, stick around. Don't drop out when it gets a little bit heated. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, these sponsors, that's the problem, is that they just hop onto whatever's like hot, you know, and they want to be involved in anything that's fresh. And then when it gets a bit too real, they like sort of get pressured to pull out, and they listen to the wrong people, because most of the time these people aren't really like supporting them in any way, right? Do you think people that drink Amstel are sitting watching, you know, podcasts with Meg G? No, come on. So they were just like a little sign of a, you know, whatever, boom, run, gone. And it's problematic. If you are willing to sponsor the platform of that nature, you just have to stick it out. Otherwise, you'll just kind of look like you're there for the wrong reasons. And it becomes very, very obvious to the audience that you weren't here for the right reasons. You don't believe in these conversations and these platforms. So lame.
Right. Right. David says, this is interesting. I did the staging for Boney M a few years back in PE. They are so shit. The band got stoned backstage. The monitor engineer couldn't mix anymore, and the bass player fell off stage during sound check. Oh, that sounds like a party. Boney M.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Michelle's leveling. Michelle's leveling some accusations at you, Levang. You may be the ghoster in someone else's story, too. We've all done ghosting. Works both ways. Ooh.
Oh, man, Michelle, you know something I don't. Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Theron says, Zuzile, I agree with you. I'm glad that Mac G is suing. Oh, wow, he's suing them, is he?
Oh, that's interesting.
I think he's suing Amanda DuPont, even, it could be.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ooh, he is mad, mad. Like, he's big mad. Proper.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, a lot of people saying it's all about the money, Bebop Williams. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you. Like, there's always a controversy if you're willing to find one. And if you're looking for one, you'll find stuff. By the way, this morning, a little bit later on, we're going to speak to Greg Walsh about the video he posted about Matric Rage and, you know, how people are still going to party even though he's canceled Matric Rage, and how the media is just on this wild, mad tear. The mainstream media, like the corporate media, are on this mission to destroy the events industry because they want some villain in the COVID story. And we'll find out what Greg's point of view is on this. In case you didn't see the video, we'll see if we can't play that just to give you the context a little bit later on as well, because it's worth knowing what the story's all about and kind of having some idea of what everybody's talking about, because this is a big story in the media at the moment, and it's been made a big story by the media anyway.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Don't you think suing people is all about ego? Well,
Gareth, I mean, like, what do you think?
Listen, in South Africa, you're never going to get huge settlements for defamation or crimen injuria. Those are the two categories that you can sue someone in a personal context for. And the settlements are small. They're like, it's not a lot of money. In America, you can sue for, you know, millions and hundreds of millions. And there it might be worthwhile. But I think sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. Like, if someone accuses you of something that is completely immoral and you know you're not guilty of it, it might be worth tracking that person down and actually holding them to the fire and saying, all right, you're going to accuse me of this. Like, bring your proof. But of course, you know what happens, right? Is in a civil case, you just have to prove on a balance of probabilities. So if I'm suing you, it's not criminal. Criminal case is beyond a reasonable doubt. So in the case of like an allegation of rape, let's say, you have to prove in a criminal case where the charges have been laid and it's going to court, the prosecution have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed the crime. Otherwise, you are not guilty of it. But in a civil suit, like a case where you're suing someone for defamation, they just have to prove, or you just have to prove on a balance of probabilities, that they have done damage to you in some way, that your reputation's been besmirched, that you've suffered financial losses. But there has to be an actual way you can prove that you've lost value and money. And that's much harder to prove. And remember, all that the other side has to say is, it's true. And it's in the public interest. If it's true and it's in the public interest, you're going to have a tough time suing that person. So I don't know. I think ego does play a role, but very seldom, because remember, the only people who benefit in a situation like that are usually the lawyers, because the lawyers make the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was a time where a lot of, and I put inverted commas, South African celebrities, because, I mean, you know, we don't have any, were going on like a suing rampage where if you said anything, boom, you know, you'd get sued for a mil, or you'd get sued for 500,000. And like, they suing literally like nobodies, like kids that are just having fun on the timeline. Or like,
how many of those people actually got, you know, were awarded the money? Very few.
Exactly. It literally went quiet. Like, it was just like all this hype while it was happening. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to sue you. Then they put like screen munches of their statements and what their lawyers said and blah, 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 all the papers. Yeah. And then like a week later, it's like, hey guys, my new single's coming out. It's like, okay, you know, give us the update. Like, did you get your money or not? And obviously not. But it'll be interesting to see if somebody actually successfully, you know, goes through with it. Because again, till today, like, nobody has gone the full Monty with it. It just seems like it's all talk for hype's sake, to look like they're doing something. And then like after that, it just fizzles out.
Well, have I got a story for you on this front. A mentor of mine, his son got accused of rape a couple of years ago, and it turned out the girl was lying to the point where my mate had to move out of the country. Other relatively famous person with rather prominent parents didn't know at the time was that my mate's dad is one of the richest people in South Africa. He continues to this day to bleed that family dry so much, right, that they had to like move out of the suburbs because he has run it, like he has taken it completely to the next level. You know, you got to be careful who you're messing with sometimes. He's still dragging them over the coals today. I think it's 18 years later. Yeah.
Oh my word.
But I think that's right.
I love it.
He's just lucky he has the resources to do it. But if you make a false accusation, especially of something like murder or rape, like serious crimes, people should go after you because that kind of thing sticks with you forever. I mean, I can recall like Makai Antini all those years ago. Do you remember? It was that woman who accused him of rape, and it turned out that she was making the whole thing up. Remember that?
Yeah.
But his reputation was ruined. He was dropped from the cricket team. Like, it was all just a disaster for him from there on. So, just like we've got to take rape seriously, and we should, we've got to take allegations of false rape very seriously too, and there need to be consequences on both sides. Because if we're going to treat this thing with the respect it deserves and treat the victims of it, the real victims of it, with the respect they deserve, and we're going to actually solve gender-based violence, we cannot be half-assed. We can't be gray about this. It's got to be black or white. If you're guilty of this stuff, you should rot in jail. But if you're accused falsely of it, then the person accusing you should also go to jail. That's the way I see it anyway. But we'll talk about this later. I mean, we've got to get into it. It's such an ugly subject, but we've got to get into it because I'm like, unless we're going to sit down like adults and address this issue with the gravity it deserves, then we're never going to solve it. Then it's all just politicians talking about 16 days, blah, blah, blah. So let's save it for later. Anyway, some headlines for you this morning. There are a couple of stories that we need to get to before we talk to Greg. First of all, Cyril has slammed the West for vaccine apartheid. That's what he's called it. Yes, he used the word.
Come on.
And travel bans, while the EU has cautioned against dramatic statements. So he has made an impassioned plea to end the travel bans that have been imposed by Western countries on South Africa during a conference in Dakar on Monday. The European Council President Charles Michel would not make any commitments on whether they'll reconsider their stance on the matter. Well, you know what, Europe? Then you don't get our tourism money. And all your tourists who aren't coming here, I'm very, very sorry for them because they should be here. They should be here. They should be having a good time here in South Africa. I'm disappointed in you. I'm with Cyril on this one. Who knew? I'm totally with Cyril.
Wow, that explains a lot.
Now, this man is made of something. I'm telling you, there's something in that royal blood of the Zulus because Mangosuthu Buthelezi has tested positive for COVID-19 again, and the man is old.
Yeah.
The only thing he regrets about being tested positive again for COVID is being unable to attend the installation ceremony of the Chancellor of the University of Cape Town, Dr. Precious Molemo Tsepe. He said that was what he was looking forward to. This man is unreal, hey? How old is he? 95?
Jeez, like.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's a warrior.
The guy is, he's really, whatever he's made of, we should all wish to be made of the same stuff.
Yeah, him and the queen, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, unstoppable, yeah. Though. There's something about this royal blood. You might not be a fan of royalty, but there's something about them that they lost a long time.
Oh, it's called doing nothing your whole life. It's like you've never suffered. You're just sleeping from 13 and you've got everything.
Okay. Then maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Hey, probably you're right. Nine armed suspects descended on a Hermanus business premises and made off with liquor to the value of 93,000 rand.
That's in the news. Now,
well, let me tell you, 93,000 rands worth of liquor is a lot.
Yes.
I don't know how much is the most you've ever bought for a party, or if you had to go and, like, when we've had like staff functions at Christmas parties, I've never spent anything close to even 10 grand on liquor. Okay, you get a lot for 10 grand. This is 93,000 rand. Sure.
Yeah, it's a lot, but then there's a lot. I mean, I remember I used to host events, so I've, like, purchased big, big bulks of, like, liquor. That's a lot, but, like, there's a lot, guys. I mean, to steal that much, sharp, no, that's the jackpot.
You don't think this is a big deal?
To be in the news, so guys got away with liquor. Well done, gents.
All right. Okay, fair enough. You want some more news?
You sure?
Just one more, too.
one more. Okay. So they're marking the matric exams that got underway this week. So matrics will be getting their results either right at the end. They always give it to you like after Christmas and before New Year, or if they're messing around after New Year. But it's like they should really try and give it to you before Christmas so you can enjoy your holidays. But I understand they've got to mark
it. I don't know. I don't know if I want it then. You want it after New Year. Because I mean, I was fortunate was that I kind of ran away from home straight after my matric exam. So when I got it, but I remember thinking, yo, that must be a crap feeling.
That pressure of like going through the newspaper looking for your name. And like, I don't know if they still do that. But do you remember back in the day, it was like you're looking for your surname and your name. If it doesn't,
oh my God,
you're screwed. Oh, dude, that pressure. It's not just
so for me, it wasn't, I wasn't ever really afraid that I was going to fail, but I was embarrassed because there were so many overachievers in my class that I was like, ugh, I have to at least get one or two A's so that I can have something that's that compares with all my friends, because they were all overachievers. I was useless. I think I got two, maybe three. I don't even remember. Now it matters that little to me that I don't remember. Oh. But at that time, it was everything, right?
It was everything. Yo, it was make everything. Or break.
I'm quite comfortably the dumbest person in my family. So for me, it was always a whole situation, right? Like all of my family, like my dad and my sister are literally 100% for mathematics, blah, 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 that whole scene. Oh, so it, for me, it was always like, no hope. I'm not going to try anyway. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, also it doesn't help when you're not smart.
Oh, I got you. So those are the main news stories. You don't need to know much more than that. I think that's quite enough for this morning. But I'll tell you what, while we're talking about matrix, this video went viral on Sunday, I think, when Greg Welsh, who is one of the founders and the organizers of Belito and Plet Rage, which is what matrix do and have done for, I don't know, since time immemorial. I mean, you know, the actual organized event is something relatively new, but people used to go on matric holidays, like when I was at school. And it's something that people look forward to all year. And let me tell you, the last 2 years have got to have been the most bullshit 2 years for matrix ever. There's been nothing to look forward to, thanks to COVID and everything being, you know, locked down and shut down and people being told that they can't go and have a good time. And I mean, there are people who think that that's probably a good thing. They think that it's kept families safe and all of that stuff. But I feel that Greg touched a nerve for a lot of people because it went viral, this video of his, where he said that the media are trying to find someone to blame. And I think that that's probably the way a lot of people feel. Anyway, I'm going to let him explain it in his own words and tell us what's been happening on that front. Here's Greg Welsh. Hey, Greg, how's it, man?
Hey, Gareth. Morning.
Good, good, good. So listen, your video went everywhere.
I made a thing
and it's now you can say you went viral, not just your events.
And I know what it's like to be one of those social media influencers when you say something controversial and the world just
so listen,
I know what it's like to be
you were even more controversial maybe last year because guys got blamed for the second wave. I mean, the president mentioned matric rage in his speech to the nation when he locked us down in December last year. And yep. I want you to explain from your point of view what's happened and where you're at and why you decided to make that video.
So I think the quick transition from, you know, being blamed as the super spreader and the cause of the second wave of COVID-19 was a gut-wrenching time. It was very, very difficult to be the center of a media scandal of that scale that kind of ended with the crescendo of the president saying our name on TV. And I think we were getting blamed for a lot that wasn't necessarily factual, because one has to remember that in a week cycle of a holiday, when you go away, you fly there, you stay in a hotel, you meet up with friends at the pool, you go to the beach together. A lot of people went to nightclubs that were trading illegally at the time in Durban, and then also came to our outdoor high airflow spaces for, at the time, 500 people exclusively. And to be honest, last year, our events weren't particularly popular because at the last minute, the liquor board didn't grant us a liquor license. So 2020 aside, it was a crap time. I think the
you couldn't even serve liquor last year.
So we couldn't serve liquor. So take yourself, you're a matric, you're the energy's high, you've had pre-drinks at home, you ride the shuttle to Rage Festival, Black Coffee's playing that night, it's going to be awesome. You walk in and you can't buy a drink. I mean, for us as a brand, it was disaster. But people walked in, spent 5 minutes, turned around, walked out, got an Uber, Florida Road, and all the images that circulated on social media of this were from nightclubs that we had nothing to do with. But we took the blame. There was no opportunity to defend ourselves because the media was too hysterical at the time about it. So I kind of want to move on from 2020. It's a painful hatch that maybe I put a lid on.
So then 2021 rolls around and you have to decide whether or not you're going to do Matric Rage.
And knowing that there would be huge scrutiny.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying, why did you even bother?
Yeah. So I think the first thing that gave us confidence was just looking abroad. I mean, in countries like the UK and the US, where infections were topping 50 to 100,000 new infections a day, they deemed it appropriate and morally acceptable to open gatherings of numbers in excess of 100,000 a day for either for vaccinated attendees or for vaccinated plus tested unvaccinated or for fully tested crowds. And over time, they even started to drop some of those requirements as the data, the scientific data, started to demonstrate that particularly outdoor gatherings were of very low material impact to COVID-19 health data, whether there was a surge in COVID-19 or not. And I think it's a celebration of a society that doesn't blame and that finds ways to support its citizens' rights to demonstrate their craft, whatever their craft may be, even if that is 100,000 people in a stadium. So I think that was the first one to go, look, it's happening overseas. The science and the data are supporting that it's possible. And we're going to do something quite unique in South Africa. We're going to be the first organization to heed the president's call before Discovery, before MTN, before anybody came out with it. And we said no vaccine, no entry for an event that, quite frankly, has a demographic of people who are mostly asymptomatic to the virus anyway. So no vaccine, no entry. Bring a negative PCR test before you come. And then we're going to test you on site at the festival as well. And our feeling was by the time and Gareth, we presented to local departments, provincial departments of health, we presented to the local CDC committees, the NICD. We even presented 4 weeks ago to the IMT, the Interministerial Task Team for COVID-19, that they are the guys that advise the Coronavirus Command Council. And we were met with almost applause. They were going, this is a fantastic thing you're doing, and it's a fantastic case study for us. So blessings. Go on. The local municipalities, please proceed. We want you in our town. Here's your letters of support. Local SAPs, the regulations permit what you're doing. And even after the president spoke up on the Sunday night right before, and I think that's really what sent the media hysterical when our prez, much as I really like him, said, you know, we must be very careful of post-matric celebrations and matric raves. He didn't single out this time our event, which I thought was interesting. And I don't disagree with them that unregulated, indoor, uncontrolled partying of unvaccinated 18-year-olds possibly poses a threat to health. But what we were doing doesn't. And science globally has proved that. So, you know, that's what gave us the confidence to proceed. We had permission, and it was legal. It's our constitutional right to run a business within the regulations.
Sure. And I mean, you ticked all these boxes, and you know, if people want to level accusations at you that it was unsafe and all the rest, you've got all the documentation to prove otherwise. But then you decided to call it off anyway.
Correct. And that was purely mounting media pressure. There was no regulator. It was not that we hadn't got permission. Everything was in place. We were getting this wave and this pressure from the media that were I mean, pressing down, and Gareth, you know what it's like when the media closed in on you for something controversial, and you, there's no right of reply. There's no opportunity to speak back. Right. And the pressure wasn't just mounting on us. It was mounting on high-ranking politicians. And I talk about people like the Premier of the Western Cape, the MEC of KZN, and they were put in positions as well. And I understand, and I support the calls that they made as well. You know, the morning after the first day at Ballito Rage, we had tested 940 people at our testing center, and 36 tested positive. And the conversation from the Department of Health and the MEC was, look, guys, what you're doing is unbelievable. And we agree, in the interests of public health, better to continue and test everyone today again and party and test and party and test than now to shut it down and leave unregulated partying. Totally agree with you. But the scrutiny on us, and we're warning you, the scrutiny on you is going to be unbearable, because every case you identified before you opened your doors can't be blamed on you. It was before you started. Every single case that now you report, because you're the ones testing, that you report now will be your rage cases. And the media are going to blame you. And the media are going to blame us as municipalities for permitting this. And although your data is under a quarter of the positivity rate of the national average on the same day, it almost doesn't matter. It's the story and the narrative.
So in other words, you screwed if you do, screwed if you don't, by doing the right thing and reporting. Right, and by reporting the number of cases that you discovered by testing at your expense at the events, you get into trouble for that. I mean, it's
correct.
Okay, so right. So who are
judge,
these?
Judge, and the word that I used yesterday in my now influencer viral video was blamed, and that's what you touched on at the beginning of the speech, and that's what, if we've still got time, I'd love to talk about, is the way media are blaming organizations and individuals for the spread of COVID-19. And that's, it's a global thing, but it's a very much a South African thing of telling people how it's in your hands and you must do this and that because otherwise you will get locked down. And, you know, how can you blame people for the community transmission of an airborne virus, which is invisible? We know, we've seen the waves. The waves are agnostic of behavior.
Correct. I mean, you know, in America at the moment, the state with the least COVID cases and hospitalizations and deaths is Florida, where they have no mask mandate, where they don't have any vaccine mandate, where they're not doing compulsory testing. And the states where they're the strictest are the ones where it seems to be spreading the most. That's just a fact that is very inconvenient for all the people in the media. So these media people, like, what kind of stuff have they been saying? And what has irritated you to the point where you decided to make a video? Because you could have just quietly gone into, you know, your holiday, because frankly, you can't have your events now. You've lost a ton of money. But what are you making this video for? Like, who are you angry with and why this media thing?
I'm making the video for the events and entertainment industry because it's bullshit. It needs to be opened. It can be opened safely. We know that there's global data to support it. And gee, what irritated me more than anything was misreporting, hysterical images. Firstly, media, we know, and unfortunately it's a societal thing. We have 7-second attention spans. We read a headline, we check the image, we go straight to the comments. We don't read the article. So even where media were giving a balanced report where they included the comments we had given them, there would be outrage over rage with a picture of 5,000 people from 3 years ago at a time when it was fine to do so. And then the comments rage on. There were statements made in the media by reputable media houses that said things like, this is going to be a burden on society, that there are going to be thousands and thousands of people after we continually told them that the number was 1,400 per city that we had decided on. So they were talking about crowds and thousands. They kept talking about indoors with no ventilation when we were only running 2 outdoor venues. They kept talking about the fact that within this community, we know that 18-year-olds and younger people is a very low vaccination uptake and rate. When in fact, we had continually told them that our events were a no vaccine, no entry environment for all staff and all customers. So this is the narrative that kept getting spread. And every time we would go and send a statement to media or send them an update on what they said, there was no right of reply. And they could then respin the same story, bring on what they deemed experts, experts from education, experts from health, experts from science, people we hadn't dealt with, of course, who would come out as experts on their platform and talk about these crowded indoor spaces of unvaccinated people, then taking the virus back to their communities of grandparents and parents with comorbidities who are unvaccinated and vulnerable.
Who's doing this? I mean, is it newspapers? Is it TV news? What is it?
I mean, how much shaming and blaming is appropriate on your platform?
Whatever you what it,
I suppose they've all called they've all called me out by name. Number one antagonist, ENCA. I mean, they were hiding in the bushes, outside our event for the 5-day build-up, reporting live breaking news. We were the top story of breaking news for 5 days on ENCA, a party for 1,400 18-year-old vaccinated kids. That's breaking news when we've got murders and all kinds of stuff in this country. They were the worst. I think another one, you know, the rest, it's across the board. I think they were certainly the worst. They were probably leading the hysteria. And, you know, a lot of what I find media do is copy-paste from each other. Sure. I think the Times Live group, Arena Media, the News 24 group, a lot of guilty reporters there on News 24. But it was across the board. And then on the other side, there was some really honest and factual reporting. People like the Daily Maverick, the Mercury in Durban. And I think to the media houses that gave a balanced account and only gave facts, I support you and I applaud you and more of you guys.
So Greg, I wanted to ask you something. Just because for all of my sins, I have family who work in government. There's not a single person in South African government I trust. And I find all of them revolting, quite frankly. So I know how they work. You know, you've obviously built a great business. I don't know you. I've never been involved with any of your stuff. I've never worked with you. But shot for VIP, by the way, in Plet. The phenomenal days. Anyway, that's besides the point. Is I kind of sense a little bit of what I've seen the ANC doing before and the South African government doing before, because they don't like to build new things. I have a huge suspicion there is also this at play, and you don't have to answer if it puts you in an awkward position. They can see you've got a great business. They want to move in on what you're doing. And we know that the ENCA is a part of the ANC arm. I don't care what anybody says. That is true. That is absolutely valid. And I have no shame. And I'm saying that. Nobody else is saying that. Do you think they are trying to crush your business to the point where you're out? And then some ANC cadre can
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, and I echo many of your feelings towards government. I think that our government's been letting our society down for the longest time on almost every measurable point. But I don't know that it's that. I think it all came off the 2020 hysteria. I think that 2020 super spreader rage, grisly, drooling, profiteering rage organizer. That's me, in case anyone was unaware. Actually, just nice guy, recently dad, good friend of Catholics too.
Whoa, don't link the two. Being a dad doesn't necessarily make you a nice guy, Greg. Please don't link those two.
I'm a great dad. I'm a great dad with a cute kid. I don't know that it's that. Yeah.
There were a lot of parents who are totally okay with matric rage. They wouldn't have given their kids the go-ahead to go and do it. But there were also some parents who were extremely nervous about this. And I remember last year with the super spreader thing, there were a lot of parents who were like genuinely concerned that their kids would come back, and some did, and make the whole family sick. So it did happen. You guys must have talked about that. You must have had some conversations. You must have had to jump over a few hurdles. That stuff was obviously foremost in your mind as well, right?
100%. And I think what gave us comfort is there's enough data to suggest that these vaccinations do work. They lower symptoms. There's no question. They reduce hospital admissions and deaths. And these are vaccinated kids from vaccinated families. And there's been no shortage of media hysteria to raise alarm bells for anyone who decided, and I say to send their child, but you know, we're talking about 18-year-old consenting voting adults. I mean, I still often think of them as children, and I think their parents think of them as children, but by law, these are consenting adults who can be charged in court and sent to prison. they're consenting adults who decided or whose parents were happy to send them and fund it. Everyone had all the facts to make the decision. Not only did they have the facts, they even had non-factual hysteria to still use as part of their decision-making process. And they felt strongly enough that their kids deserved this. The kids felt strongly enough that they deserved it, that it was their rights and their time. And they'd gone and done the right thing as 18-year-olds and got vaccinated. You know, not that many 18-year-olds have been vaccinated in our country as a percentage. I think it's under 15%. So they went and did the right thing. They knew the risks. Their families knew the risks. And let's be honest, with where we are right now, those risks with vaccination and all the testing we were doing were extremely low.
All right. So Lebung's been quiet here, and you've been in the events industry too, Lebung. I mean, what do you make of this? And if you think Greg's talking nonsense, give him some gears.
Yeah. Hey, Greg. Like, I'm sitting here listening to all of this, and I think, like, on one end, it's quite clear that government is just looking to blame anybody. It just happened to be you guys this time. It was like low hanging fruit for them to be able to shift the blame and say those are the guys. Blah 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 blah. But like on the other hand, you know, I did attend some of these raves. Especially down in Durban back in my year. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of chaos. And this was all pre-COVID. So, I guess it was safer or whatever the case. But as the years have gone by and you see how these kids are having fun and really going at it, I don't know if, you know, the parent in me, I mean, I'm a mother of four. So the parent in me is a little bit like, I don't know if I would trust my kids to be responsible enough to go out there and make the right decisions when they are out there interacting with these other kids. And on top of that, you know, there's parents who really aren't playing their part with regards to how much trust they have. I mean, there's a guy in the States who took his 9-year-old to a Travis Scott concert, and unfortunately that 9-year-old lost their life. Yeah. So I don't know if the parents are playing their part in really thinking this through. But again, as somebody who attended Rage, and thank you, Mom and Dad, for allowing me to do so, I was responsible enough to do it responsibly. Yeah. I'm just a bit unsure if it's that important, I guess. You know, I mean, as an event organizer myself, sure, this is your business. You got to do what you got to do. But right now, I don't know. But yeah, I'm a little bit on the fence, to be honest with you. As Garrett said, this is like, I'm sitting and taking it all and like, okay, cool. But okay,
so what do you say? What do you say to that, Greg?
Yeah.
I say that we've got nearly 3 million newly unemployed people in South Africa, and an enormous chunk of them have come from the events, hospitality and tourism industry. And I think we've got a much bigger looming issue if we're shutting down well-managed, safe events. I totally hear what you're saying. I think every year, if I look at our audience, we get 95% wonderful, well-brought-up, well-mannered, well-behaved, responsible young people coming to our events, and we get 5% troublemaking, badly raised, poorly parented shit-stirrers coming to our events, and we've got to deal with them. And I think that's the same of most environments of live entertainment. The number of people that walk out of our events and say, thank you, sir, to me. I mean, they used to call me Brew and Bro. Now they call me Sir. But, you know, we've got such a cool community of respectful kids who are mostly well-raised. And Gareth, I remember you watched the Carte Blanche episode in 2015 when Claire Moisa came down to Belito Rage, and she spent a full 5 days at the event. They grilled me in an interview, Carte Blanche. I thought it was going to be the ultimate roasting of Greg Welsh and Carte Blanche. And you phoned me after the interview and you said, Greg, how much did you pay for that advertorial? And I didn't. You know, Carte Blanche don't do advertorials. Blanche are there to be investigative journalists. They hung out at the toilets. Mm. They hung out at the door. Yeah. They rode the Rage Rides shuttles. They went to the hotels. They interviewed parents. There were parents who came on Carte Blanche and were sort of, you know, investigative journalist style, antagonized by the reporters. Why did you send your kids to this thing? And the parents said, if you've done a good job as a parent, you have nothing to worry about. And I loved that statement. And the other statement I loved right at the end of the Carte Blanche segment was when Claire was standing on the bridgeway out at just next to the oyster box in Umhlanga. And she said, if I had the choice to send my child here to Belito Rage, the answer would be yes. And that was Carte Blanche. So, you know, we've got, yes, it's a high energy environment. It's celebration. It's a party. It's fun. It's, you know, one can say it's wild, but you know, we were all 18 once. Why not? We have 40 to 50 volunteers every year from the Red Frogs who are there just in support, making people pancakes, handing out water, lending a hand, phoning a parent if you need. But hundreds of security. You aren't allowed to drive to the events. You have to use the shuttles provided. You know, if that's not acceptable, what is?
Well, Carl says here, your kid can go to Pick and Pay and get COVID and come home and make the whole family sick. Fuck the media. And then, yeah. I mean, listen, there are lots of people supporting you. There are going to be people who think that you shouldn't be in business doing what you do just because there are going to be bad apples. And in events, you have risks. I mean, you know, you go out at night and you're gonna meet with risks. You get in your car in the morning to go to work and you're gonna meet with risks. But I thought it would be interesting to have you on. Thanks for talking to us, and good luck with this this fight for the events business, because I don't know how much more it can take. And if they are going to bring on more restrictions and lockdowns and there's going to be a fourth wave conversation, I don't know how many businesses will survive that. I mean, some of them are on the bones of their ass anyway. So yeah, good luck.
Although we had a wonderful, successful organization, we're also on the bones of our asses. You know, I haven't taken a salary in 12 months. And I've personally been funding the salary of my staff by selling assets. I've sold properties to do it that I worked hard for years to build up. This is not a pity session, but it's real out there. And something has to change. Events can happen safely, but they can only happen safely when the narrative changes. And that's got to come from government, from health, and from media to support the events industry, to do study, to do research, to test if it's safe, to test data on events versus public health data. We already know the answers because they've been tested overseas, but it's time to stand up and support the events industry.
Okay, so Brian has one last comment on this. Greg, your only mistake was not organizing a parallel middle-aged dad body rage for our generation.
That's what you mean. I've got a lot of comments. I'm trying to get through them. But there's a lot of people that are saying, well, what about me? Like, we went to rage and now it's 25 years later and we want something.
Yeah, Greg, let's get the Goose Valley, let's get the guys. Yeah, I'm in. We want that shuttle from Goose Valley. Yeah, that terrible walk to the gate.
We got to wrap this up. Greg, thanks, man. Chat to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Cheers. All right, very good.
So much for having me on.
Cheers. All right, very good. CliffCentral.com.